Exodus chapter 4, reading from verse 27 through verse 31 tonight. We're going to be looking at Aaron, the high priest. I'm just going to kind of give an overview of him and his life, because there's so many scriptures, there's entire chapters that describe his life, his ministry, things of that nature. Keep in mind in Romans 15:4, the things written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Notice with me now as we come here to verse 27, beginning here, Exodus 4:27. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Father, thank you again tonight for this privilege and this opportunity to come together. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us with the life of Aaron, Lord, that it might be a blessing to us and encouragement to us. We just pray now, Lord, for thy will to be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Aaron was the brother of Moses and Miriam, the first high priest of Israel, born in Egypt, married and had four sons, and he experienced also the Red Sea crossing upon the dry land. He was a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We find that he was a spokesman for Moses, his brother. He was a man of God, chosen of God, a priest of God. Now, when we talk about the Levitical order or the Levitical priesthood, Aaron and his son made up the priestly order, and the whole tribe of Levi was given to them for the purpose of assisting in the sacred work that was centered around the tabernacle and later the temple. The Levites were gifts of God to the nation of Israel. They oversaw spiritual things. We find that there were three classes. There were the high priests, the priest, and then the Levites. We find that they represented the whole congregation before God and acted on their behalf. Now we just read here in verse 27, it said, "And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him." Of course, verse 28, 29, Moses told him all that God had said to him. They gathered the children of Israel together and spoke to them and showed them the signs. And then the people, when they heard in verse 31, that the Lord had visited them and was looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. I want us to back up into the chapter to about verse 10, and let's get the context here. Now again, when we talk about high priests, that was a very sacred office, dedicated to holy things and to lead the whole nation of Israel in worship. The high priest of the Old Testament was a type of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our high priest, and his work. The theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Now, I'm going to carry you through about three thoughts this evening. One is Aaron's calling. That's the first thing we're going to look at. God called him to service and used him to be a spokesman for Moses. When he's called, he is over 80 years of age. In our context, Moses is 80, And Aaron is about 3 years older than Moses. So his calling begins in his early 80s. I hope that the Lord will give us those many years to serve him. Right, Brother Avery? Now, he becomes a second man to Moses in the service of God. He's a great helper to Moses. What I want to do is I want to talk about his calling for a few moments. I want to talk about his failure and his sin. And then thirdly, his approval, his commendation that God gives to him. He was a great orator. He was eloquent in speech. He was skilled in speech. And notice now, as we read in verse 10. Now, when we start reading here, I want to remind you in chapter 3, Moses has had his encounter with God at Mount Sinai, the burning bush. And God tells Moses he's going to use him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And of course, Moses is reluctant in this. When we get into chapter 4, the Lord again tells Moses that he's going to use him, and he even has him to take the rod and cast it down. It turns into a serpent and so forth, and he takes his hand and pulls it into his bosom. It becomes leprous, and of course, he's showing Moses the great things that the miraculous things that he was going to do. And still yet, Moses is reluctant. And that's where we pick this up in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. And he says here, and of a slow tongue. Moses is bringing forth excuses. He may have truly. It looks like he was, you know, slow of speech and slow of tongue, but God was going to use him. But God is always ahead of us. He's already got Aaron prepared and, you know, to send him. But notice now in verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. In other words, God has already prepared Moses' excuses, and he's already got Aaron to come. And he says here in verse 15, I'm coming down to now verse 15, and he says, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. So he becomes a spokesman for Moses. And we see here, and this again is after the burning bush experience, and God is going to send now Moses and Aaron to the people. I want you to turn with me to chapter 5. Notice with me in Exodus chapter 5. And again, this is just going to be an overview, just a brief overview, because there's literally chapters. Chapter 28 and 29 is describing Aaron and his sons and the Levites. And we also have Leviticus 8 and 9. Both of those chapters describe all the details of Aaron and his sons, and also in Numbers chapter 8. And there's other passages. I have just picked out a few. Now notice in chapter 5, I want to read a few verses here and a few verses in chapter 7, and I want you to see that Aaron does exactly at this time what God says. He stood beside Moses. He was very faithful and very loyal. And he does as Moses said. In other words, he believes that God is speaking through Moses. And even to the point of taking the rod and throwing it down and becoming a serpent. In other words, and then that rod also using it to turn water to blood. He's a faithful companion to his brother. Notice as we read here in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And after Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Come down with me, please. Not down, but over to chapter 7. Notice in chapter 7. In chapter 7, again, let's read the first couple of verses here. In chapter 7. And again, I just want you to see here that, and we could turn to several verses here in Exodus. So I just want you to see how faithful that Moses was. As a matter of fact, when you get into chapter 17, verses 11 through 13, Moses went up on a mountain as Joshua and the army fought the battle against their enemies. And we find that Aaron helped her in holding up Moses' hands so that Joshua can win the battle. He's always by Moses. He's always with him. You'll notice in chapter 7, reading in verse 1 and 2, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land." Come down to verse 9 and 10. In verse 9 and 10. And it says here in this passage, "And when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." In verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servant, and it became a serpent." We see in verse 17 and 18 that he takes the same rod and turns the water of the river into blood. So again, we see the faithfulness of this. We see in verses 19 through 22 this same principle. Now I want you to turn to chapter 16. In chapter 16, we're talking about right now his calling and his faithfulness. And I want you to notice that he even stood with Moses whenever Moses received criticism. Matter of fact, both of them received criticism at numerous times from the children of Israel. In chapter 16, reading in verse 2 and 3, "And the whole congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel rather, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, and when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Just came through the Red Sea, here they're complaining and saying, "Well, you've brought us out." Now, these are the people that rejoiced when they were told that they were going to be delivered, and now they're saying, "You brought us out to kill us." And in this chapter, beginning in verse 4, is where we find that the Lord supplied manna to them for the whole 40 years that they were in the wilderness. But you'll notice here that he stood with Moses. He received the same criticism as Moses from the congregation who had gathered themselves together. You'll notice in the, hold on in Exodus and turn to Numbers chapter 16. In the book of Numbers in chapter 16, we see this again. Numbers chapter 16. Matter of fact, in this chapter, we find that the Lord had to punish Kore. As a matter of fact, there were several people died in this chapter. But notice in Numbers chapter 16. As a matter of fact, when you step into Numbers 17, we find the budding of Aaron's rod. You know what that was evidence of? That was evidence that God had called Aaron and put him into the priesthood, because they took a rod from each of the tribes and put them before the Lord, and it showed his divine appointment to the priestly office. Notice again in chapter 16, we're reading in verse 2 and 3. And Kore is the leader in this in verse 1. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Well, as you read through this chapter, there's about 250 plus that die from the judgment of the Lord. What is interesting is that when you come down to the end of this chapter, beginning in verse 41 through 50, you find that Moses and Aaron are on their face before the Lord praying for all of this congregation. Those that murmured in verse 41, we find that they even murmured more after God judged Kore and his followers. But Moses and Aaron is on their face praying so that the plague does not destroy the whole nation, because in verse 49, there was another 14,700 that died. And it says in verse 50, "And Aaron returned to Moses and to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." They prayed for those that stood against them. They prayed for those that criticized them. They prayed for those that murmured and complained against them so that they would not be destroyed. Go back with me now to Exodus chapter 19 this time. In Exodus chapter 19, I'm reading from one verse, and then we're going to go to chapter 24. And notice in Exodus chapter 19, verse 24. He says here in this passage, "And the Lord said unto him, Away get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them." This is Mount Sinai. And there's a great privilege here that's given to not only Moses, but given to Aaron and his two sons, and with 70, I think, elders of the children of Israel, they were permitted to accompany Moses part of the way in order that they might be able to see the glory of God. Let's go to chapter 24. Notice with me in chapter 24, and we'll see this talked about again. Chapter 24, reading from verse 9. He says here in this passage, and my point in all of this is just the importance of Aaron and his sons and the Levites. We find that, as I said earlier, they were given as gifts to minister spiritual things. It's sort of similar like in Ephesians 4, when the Lord sent it up on high, gave gifts unto men, ministers, true ministers of God, pastors, evangelists, apostles, and prophets. They are gifts that are given to the church to minister in spiritual things. That's what the Levites, the priest, and the high priest did for the children of Israel. You'll notice as we read in verse 9, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Now notice this. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also God's, I'm back up, also they saw God and did eat and drink. In other words, they had this experience of seeing at a distance the glory of God, this wonderful privilege at Mount Sinai. This is how close that Moses and Aaron was, and how that God loved them both and used them to lead the children of Israel. Notice in chapter 28. In chapter 28, let me read just a few verses here. Now, this whole chapter is dealing with Aaron and his sons and the Levites. And also chapter 29. In chapter 29, it really speaks of the anointing of Aaron and his sons and the washing of them, the cleansing of them, so that they can enter into the priesthood. So in this chapter, again, this chapter included with chapter 29, Leviticus 8, Leviticus 9, and Numbers chapter 8, we find here that Aaron and his son were to be separated. They never even got the same inheritance as the other tribes. They were to be separated, and they were to be ordained to the priesthood, to be washed, to be anointed, to be sanctified for the ministry. They were even given special clothing to wear. In other words, to perform the duties of the ministry in the tabernacle and later the temple. And I'm telling you, there's great detail here about the clothing of the priest, and especially the high priest. And we know that the high priest represented was a picture of the coming Messiah. That's why we find Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, beginning about verse 10, down through about verse 18 or 20, in his priestly robe, ascended and seated at the right hand of God. In other words, what we're reading, if you spend the time to read this, it shows the importance of mediatorial work of the priest and high priest. In other words, it shows the fact that we need a priest to represent us before God. The Israelites needed a priest. They stood between God and between the people. They performed many duties. They kept the candles burning in the tabernacle and the incense altar. And the high priest, once a year, according to Leviticus 16, went in. The whole chapter is dealing with this, and made atonement. It's called the Day of Atonement. And he went in and made atonement and put blood, sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. And there's many things they did. From the sacrifices to the worship and things. This is their job in the nation of Israel. They carried on the spiritual work for this nation. They were very important. Again, they were mediators. Jesus Christ is our great high priest and mediator, gave sacrifice for us. Let me just read just a few verses, and I need to move on. We're going to turn from here to Exodus chapter 32. But notice beginning in verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. Notice the separation. That they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broided coat, a mitre, that's a crown, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." They go into great details. We find, you'll notice in this same chapter, I'm coming down to verse 9, "Thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel." By the way, these were worn on the shoulders, like you would see many times with officers, you know, with the, I forget what you call them now, but they're on the shoulders. And also, as you read through this chapter, beginning in verse about 21, there's a breastplate. There's a breastplate that he wears with the stones and the names of the children of Israel. What does all that mean? Again, we can bring that in the New Testament and see it was all symbolic of what Christ would do for us. But the priest wore on his garments the names of the children of Israel. In other words, he represented them, and when he went into the presence of God, he was carrying their burdens and whatever before the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus has done for us. When you get into chapter 29, we find their anointing, their setting apart, them being washed with water in verses 4 through 9. And he says in verse 9, the latter part of that, for the priest's office, he said, "It shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." It's worth reading through this, whether you understand or get all of it or not. You see the importance that is placed upon the worship of God and the ministers that God has called to do this. Now let us go to chapter 32, and let's talk about Aaron's failure or his sin. His sin as a leader grieved consequences. He's a leader of God's people that brought shame upon the nation of Israel. All of this happened before his anointing. We was reading about what they would do in anointing him. And this would be a warning against leaders today, who are especially spiritual leaders. Notice as we come here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says in verse 1, "And when the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount," and by the way, that was 40 days he was there, "the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods." Think about this. They've just came out of Egypt. They've just been to Mount Sinai. Moses is up receiving the commandments. Moses remained in the mountain of God, and he's receiving the commandments. He's been there 40 days, and the people are wanting, in one sense, they're wanting to make an idol, because where's Moses? And they even talked about returning back into Egypt a number of times. Notice it says in verse 2, "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord." Very sad chapter. How could he do this great wickedness among the children of Israel? We read about the great David and his sin, Solomon and his sin. Of course, we find that Aaron was a repentative person. We know that as we read through the scriptures. If you want to write these verses down that kind of add a little bit to this, is Psalms 106, verse 19 and 20, Deuteronomy 9, 20, and one other passage in the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, verse 38 through 41. Again, we see here that the people become dissatisfied. Where is Moses? Why hasn't he come down? Is he coming back? So we find that they talk Aaron in to doing this. Aaron was influenced by the crowd. He listened to the people. And this man, before this time, he was fearless. He stood before Pharaoh and all of his army. He stood with Moses. He was the mouthpiece. He was the prophet. He was fearless at other times, but now he feared the people. He refused to go against their wishes, and their wishes was leading them into idolatry. Maybe he was afraid they would give up. Maybe he was afraid they would head back toward Egypt. But we find here 40 days after Moses going up to get the law, they're breaking the law and fell into idolatry. Notice in verse 4 what they said, and then verse 5 what Aaron said. In verse 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he'd made a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." They said, "These be thy gods." In other words, it's not Jehovah God, but it's a false god. Exodus 20, the first four verses of the Ten Commandments. We are not to worship false gods, neither are we to worship God in a false way. Now here's what Aaron said in verse 5. Notice in verse 5, "Now he does not adopt their language of their gods, but he says," basically, it's still the worship of the Lord. The calf would probably just represent the Lord. Verse 5, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" Again, they have broken the commandments that Moses is up receiving before he ever got them off the mount. Now, in verse 21 through 24, we see Aaron's defense. And he pretty much blamed the people. In verse 21 through 24, "And Moses said unto Aaron, 'What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?' And Aaron said, 'Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. They said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Now the people were wrong. We read about that in the other passages I gave you. But Aaron, the leader, was very wrong here as well. He stood against the people before and took their criticism and done what was right. He stood before Moses, before Pharaoh, and they could have been easily put to death. He was fearless, but he feared the people. Verse 25, "His sin brought great shame upon God's people. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies." And then in verse 26 through 33, it is the Levites that take up swords against the sins of the people. And we find that there's 3,000 that die here because of this. The Levites kill them. Verse 26. "Then Moses stood in the gates of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And of course, they take the lives of the individuals. When you get into chapter 33, Moses takes a tabernacle outside the camp because of their sins, so that those who really, truly worship God could come there to that. This is a tragic thing that happened here, and Aaron gave in to the people. And he should have never done that. There's another sin that you can write down this evening, and that is Numbers 12, verses 1 and 2. He joined his sister in murmuring against Moses, and he repented, and he acknowledged his sin and her sin, and God forgave them. Thank God he was that kind of man. But then there's one other time that he sinned, and it's in Numbers 20, verses 8 through 13. And this is, I want you to be turning, by the way, to Leviticus 10. We're going to read two more passages and close. Turn to Leviticus chapter 10. But in Numbers, this is where that Moses, remember, struck the rock when God says, speak to the rock. Now you say, I don't understand all that. He told him at one time to strike it and it was okay. But the second time he told him to speak to the rock. Now, the Bible tells us that that rock, spiritually speaking, that Christ was that rock that followed them in the wilderness, not the literal rock that water came out of, but it was Christ that all of that represented. And we know that Christ was only to be struck one time on the cross. But Moses was angered by the people. They provoked him, the book of Psalms says. And Aaron was involved in this. And so he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And Aaron was implicated in the sin of Moses. And for this reason, neither one of them was permitted to go in or lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And you know what that means? That means that God is serious about His Word, and He wants things done His way. He wants it done His way. Moses could have spoke to that. Aaron could have spoke there that day, but no, struck the rock. And God said, you have not glorified me among the children of Israel. And so neither one of them were able to go into the promised land because of that one incident. So those are the three failures of Aaron in Exodus 32, Numbers 12, and Numbers chapter 20. Now notice as we come to Leviticus 10, Leviticus chapter 10, I'm going to be reading a few verses from here. And this is a very interesting story. Notice as we begin in verse 1. It says here in verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. A sad story. Two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they were killed by the Lord here in this text. And some men came in verse 4 and 5 and carried their bodies out. And what is interesting is that Aaron was told to hold his peace. Notice in verse 6, and Moses said unto Aaron, and to Eleazar, and to Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rent your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, be well, the burning which the Lord hath kindled. I'm going to stop reading there. He reminds Aaron. He speaks to Aaron in verses 8 through 11. And he reminds Aaron, especially in verse 10 and 11. He says that you are to put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. His sons, two of his sons were killed. He had four sons. Two of them are killed by the Lord because they offered strange fire. They did not do this. They did not burn upon the altar of incense what God said to do. And Aaron is told not to mourn for his sons, hold his peace, and obey the commandment that God has given. And thank God that he did that. He was a man of God. You say, why did they do this? They compromised by refusing to follow God's word. Why did they do this? I don't know. They may have seen their father's compromise and done this because of that. We find here in this passage, can you imagine how he felt when he saw his two sons immediately punished under God's wrath, and he's to hold his peace? Today, most parents, if that had happened to their son, they would be angry at God and the minister. But Aaron did what Moses told him to do in this particular situation. I want to close in Psalms 106, one verse. And the third thing would be his commendation, his approval of God. He was a man that knew how to repent when he made a mistake. He was a man that loved God. And he lived to be about 123 years of age. His death is mentioned in the book of Numbers, and also it's mentioned in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 50. And the priesthood was handed down to one of his sons. But notice here as we close in Psalms 106 verse 16, and I know I should get the context. The context is all the things that they went through with the children of Israel, but it says in verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. He was a saint of the Lord. God just records the sins of his people. And I think he does that to warn us, and especially with leaders, spiritual leaders, or even political leaders like with David and Solomon and so forth. But God just records it all. But again, Aaron was, in my opinion, a great man, and he knew how to repent and when it was needed and confess his sins and those kind of things. Would you stand with me? Next Sunday night, we'll be talking about Miriam the prophetess. You say, why are you calling her a prophetess? We'll talk about that next Sunday night. Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege you've given us to come together. We pray now for your blessings to be upon the remaining of this service, Lord, the prayer requests, the singing, and the final closing in prayer. We just thank you, Lord, for thy truth. And Lord, help us to believe it, help us to understand it. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.